Turn, if you will, to Mark, the 14th chapter. We thank our dear brother for that great message. Many times I've asked myself and looked into my heart to see if there was anything good there that was me. And the answer is always the same, that everything good is a fruit of the Spirit. And as I was traveling down here, I was thinking about the Beatitudes. First Beatitude is, blessed are the poor in spirit. And the reward is, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then when you get to the last Beatitude, you're persecuted as Jesus is, the reward is the same. And the only thing I can make out of that is the greatest thing on earth is to be a sinner and know it. And that's the origin of salvation in our experience. We change gears here a little bit in the topic of our sermon. Mark 14, verse 3 through 9, I want to preach on when extravagance is not waste. In Mark 14, verse 3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? It might have been sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble you her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whatsoever you, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Most of the time, extravagance is waste. We see people that do things that require great amounts of prideful display, large amounts of money. Oftentimes that money could have been better spent, used to help other people, used to further God's kingdom. But when you're dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ, extravagance and our love for Him is never waste. Christ's love for us is so great. Sometimes people have said to me, oh, you came a long ways to visit me. To which I always say, we serve somebody that came much further. He is ever busy. The first recorded words of Christ are, wist you not, I must be about my Father's business. The last words of Christ, it is finished. The last words of Christ to men. Now, you think about that. When Christ was on the cross, why could He say, it is finished? Because when He was 12 years old, He said, wist you not, it must be about my Father's business. Wherever Christ was, and whatever it was He was doing, He was always about the Father's business. He came to Bethany and was there for the Passover week, the week leading up to His death. If you were to get a life of Christ and read all that Christ did on that Passover week, it would shock you. He was so busy, so overwhelmed with business and teaching and meeting those that were evil and trying to have Him murdered. This is a sad when contrasted to man's lack of love for Christ. You begin in Mark 14, verse 1 and 2, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might take Him by craft and put Him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. Why would you kill Jesus? Someone who never harmed anyone. Someone who Every word, every thought was perfect. He could say, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. It said of him that he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And yet, continually criticized and hounded to death. You know, I think of the disciples. Judas starts complaining, why was not this sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And what happens? The other apostles, they take that up and start talking about it. And yeah, we agree with that. How sad. But when we look at the events, we see Israel as a nation attempting to murder Christ. We see the apostles parroting the words of Judas, not understanding the preciousness of Christ. When we see all that, we think that there is a blessed exception. And that was Mary's deed. Now, a pence, of course, was, as you see in other parables, a day's labor. When you take 300 pence, you take away the Sabbath day and so on, you have the equivalent of a year's work. Now, what is a year's work worth? Well, it's hard to compute, really, because the standard of living is different. 20,000? 30,000? 40,000? I guarantee you that if I broke a bottle that cost $40,000, it'd cause a stir here tonight. I guarantee that there'd be some saying, well, that could have been better used. There's nothing unexplained here. But Mary had a love for Christ that caused her to see things that other people did not see. Now, let me say this. All believers love the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, unto you that believe, He is precious. The Scripture says, everyone that loveth is born of God. And the Bible says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. But there are some who love Christ more than others. Abraham loved Christ more than Lot. More than Lot did. Moses loved Christ more than Aaron did. John the Beloved loved Christ more than Doubting Thomas. The maniac who wanted to go with Christ after the demons had been cast out loved Christ more than those that wanted to follow Him for the bread and the fishes. The prodigal loved Christ more than the elder brother. And Mary loved Christ more than Martha did. Such love is not very well understood. You know, I love the old illustration. It goes all the way back to the Reformation. But it is, it goes like this. In every culture, you have some form of dance. If you were at a distance watching people, whatever kind of dance it was, ballroom dancing, square dancing, whatever it was, if you were far off and you were watching it and you couldn't hear the music, it wouldn't make a bit of sense to you. You'd watch it and you'd think, what is that all about? The moment you hear the music, you understand. Because the music and the movement go together. Now the world watches the Christian. They see them go to church. They see them read the Bible. They see them abstain from foul language. They don't get it. Because they don't hear the music. The Spirit of God does not dwell in them. There's no illumination, no enlightenment. And so such love as Mary had is little understood. But this greater love that Mary had, that some Christians have, is of great value. Now, first of all, it was of great value because it was refreshing to Christ. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 10, the bridegroom says, how fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. And you could make the application here that the smell of thine ointments. You think of Mary of Bethany and how she anointed Christ with this aromatic, aromatic ointment. But that's only a picture of her love for Christ. I was telling somebody the other day, you know, he mentioned that I have a health condition. I've been diagnosed with Parkinson's for 13 years. And I told somebody the other day, I said, a wise person doesn't want pity. But we all want empathy. Empathy is just knowing that somebody appreciates the situation, that somebody knows. And let me tell you something, there wasn't anybody that understood. No one really and fully understood what Christ was going through. But there was one person that understood it better than anybody else. And it wasn't an apostle. And it wasn't a priest. But it was Mary of Bethany. And the smell of her ointments enlivened and encouraged our Lord Jesus Christ. This love that she had deepened her understanding. You know, I never did well in math. I tried. I didn't care about learning about math. I just didn't want to be in summer school. And I'd say, I'm going to listen. And what I found out is that I could listen till a bee came by. And then next thing I knew, I'd been watching the bee for half an hour and hadn't heard anything. You know why I couldn't learn math? Because I didn't like it. And that's why people can't learn anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. But Mary listened. You have an illustration of this in Luke 10. In Luke 10 and verse 38, it says, Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, Martha owned the house. Let me tell you something. Martha was kind of crabby. You know, it's been pointed out that nowhere in Scripture did Lazarus ever say anything. He was afraid of Martha. Now think about this. What did Martha do to Mary? Came to the Lord Jesus and said, She's not helping me. That wasn't the first thing she said. She said, Carest thou not? She had to take a slap at the Lord. And when Jesus came to raise Lazarus from the dead, what's the first thing out of her mouth? Lord, if you'd been here, she wouldn't have died. Then when they go to the grave, she's still not done. Lord, you don't do that. Don't take away that. That'd be a mistake. It wouldn't be pleasant. Mary was kind of crabby. But we all like to eat. And you see her working and you see her making this wonderful meal. And Mary's just sitting there listening to the Lord. You know, if we observe that situation, it would disturb some of us. But Jesus said, Mary hath chosen that good part. Let me tell you something. If the Lord Jesus visits your house, send out for Kentucky Fried Chicken and listen. Listen. Do you know that as far as I can tell, Mary was the only one that understood what was going on? You say, why did she understand? Because she listened. Matthew 16 and verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Now that's pretty clear, isn't it? Who understood it? Mary. Matthew 26 and verse 12. Verily I say unto you, no, that's not. Verse 12. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. She understood. John 12 and verse 7. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this ointment. I think most people that read the Scriptures have the idea that Martha loved Christ and she anointed Him. And it just so happened that it worked out that He died. And so it was indeed needed. But I think Mary knew exactly what she was doing. Because she listened and because she took literal the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so her understanding was deepened. Such love to Christ provoked love in God's saints. Let me tell you a little story. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 1, Paul said, your love hath provoked many. When I was down in Louisiana outside New Orleans in the river parishes for 7 years, and I was very poor. Most Baptist preachers are poor. I was very poor. Kids would come and say, I used to look forward to the day when I could take my wife to McDonald's. And the kids would say, there's a Dolly's Donuts. They'd say, take us to Dolly's Donuts, but they don't have any money. They'd say, there's checks. They didn't understand you have to have something in the bank to write the checks on. But there was a church in Kansas City, and every year they would send us a gift around Christmas time. And that would enable us to go home and see our parents. It wasn't a lot, $140 or something, but it seemed like a lot then, and that was a while back. And you know, the effect it had on me was this. If I ever am able, I'm going to do the same thing for other people that this pastor has done for us. And when I was called by the First Baptist Church, I wasn't there very long, and I told him, I said, we're going to have a week of preaching before Thanksgiving, and the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we're going to take an offering. It's going to be for pastors and missionaries that have special needs. For 22 years, it went up every year. Now, I'm not making anything out of that. I'm just saying that that's a fact. That for 22 years, it went up every year. And it was a wonderful blessing to the church to do things. But what did it do? It provoked others. And just as I was provoked to want to do for others what someone had done for me. This love also produces opportunities that might otherwise be missed. In Luke 24, you remember how they had to get the body of the Lord Jesus in the grave and as the Sabbath was coming on. And then it says in Luke 24, after this, it says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Everybody wanted to anoint the body of Christ for burial. Only one woman got to do it. They came there. Oh, they had expensive spices then. They were glad to participate in it then and to anoint their blessed Savior. But there was only one woman that actually got to do it. You say, why did she get to do it? Because she listened. Because she believed what she heard. Because she loved the Savior. This love corrects our priorities. Luke 10:42, Jesus said, Mary hath chosen that good part. It pleases Christ. In Mark 14:6-9, we have a demonstration of how it pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 14:6-9, it says, Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. He appreciated it. He defended her. He rewarded her. In verse 9, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. You say, do you believe in fulfilled prophecy? Yes, I'm fulfilling it tonight. 2,000 years ago on the other side of the world, Jesus said what took place here. Wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, this will be told as a memorial for Mary. And that's what we're doing tonight. Let me ask you a question. Who is the mayor of Bethany? Who at the high school ran the 440 faster than anybody else? Who is the leading socialite? It's only one person. Everybody else is known because they're associated with Mary. Because she loved Christ and had a priority that caused her to please Christ. Because her life provoked others. And then this love associates us with Christ. In John 11, we have a few facts that we don't have in the synoptics. John 11 and verse 2. Well, I'll read verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. This ointment was not only expensive, but it was powerful, lasting. That's why it was expensive. And it reminded one of death. And of course, in the context, we think that it reminded one of the death of Christ. And everywhere Christ went during the Passion Week, people smelled that odor, didn't they? That powerful, expensive ointment. But there was somebody else that reminded them of Christ, because she wiped the ointment with her hair. And she smelled like the Lord Jesus Christ. And she too, when she was around, reminded you of the dying passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, when Moses went up on the hill and spent time with God, his face glowed. Jesus, that New Testament Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration, likewise, shown evidence of his being with the Father. And Mary of Bethany had that evidence that she was with Christ and had been with Christ, and she reminded everybody of what they had forgotten and of his death. Well, let me say this. There's no extravagance in heaven. You can't be extravagant when you walk on streets of gold. You can't be extravagant at the banquet in heaven. If we're going to do anything for the Lord, we're going to have to do it here. And Jesus Christ is worth our extravagance. He's the only thing that is.